This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning into the online broadcast network AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
All right, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV after show for Downton Abbey, the penultimate episode. Excuse me, I'm so overcome that I'm mispronouncing everything. All right, I'm John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio as always by Tamara Bird.
Hey, everybody,
and Courtney Stewart.
Hello, hello.
I think I'm golly goose gumdrops. I'm cockahoot because this episode was bananas.
Orange you glad? Yeah, George
exactly.
Was part of it.
Nice. All right, let's just get into this because it really kind of was about this, the dueling sisters. We had the big knockdown, drag out row that we've been expecting. We got that. Woo. We got all kinds of things. We got a wedding. But I want to start off with the Edith, poor Edith storyline first, if we can. First of all, I loved the way the episode opened with them out in the field.
Walking with their parasol.
Yeah, I know. And again, because you guys, I'm going, hey, that parasol matches her outfit. I never would have noticed this before. But
yeah, you're welcome, John.
Yes, you've opened my eyes up to a whole new experience now, so I appreciate that.
And yes. Cora's coat. I mean, we'll probably talk more about the fashion later, but absolutely, a lot of you Anglophiles, will, and you all are, let's just assume that you are, looked like a Wedgwood vase.
Oh, yeah.
That very classic Wedgwood blue
coloring,
with the white lace trim on it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thought in my mind, which I thought was brilliant.
She's so Wedgwood.
She is a bit Wedgwood.
All right, but okay, now and half the episode is she going to tell Bertie? Is she not going to tell
him?
What is she going to tell him?
Should we
tell
him?
You
should tell him.
And again, we're going through everybody's opinion about it, and I'm going, yes, of course you should tell him.
Yes.
What were you guys thinking? Were you thinking?
Yeah. I was surprised they were fighting so much about it. I was like, of course she has to tell him. Like, why is there even a possibility that she
I mean, but you know, I guess Lord Grantham is saying, no, let her tell her if she wants, and, you know, Cora's saying, no, she has to tell her.
Oh, he's just being
a father. Yeah, because he wants to get her married off.
Because
that moment, though, when he's looking at them walking, meaning Cora and Edith, and walking out there, and he's talking to Rosamund, and he just doesn't want her to be hurt. He just wants her to have some happiness.
There's almost nothing that will make me cry more than a father-daughter relationship thing.
Yeah. And he's so Team Edith this season. Yeah. I love it.
He is.
So
even at the end, he says how much of all my children she's
the one who surprises me the most.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Oh, it was nice. It was nice. All right, but so, of course, it can't go that way because it's Edith we're talking about.
Of course.
And, you know, we were wondering, okay, how is this going to happen? And then, of course, Mary and Tom see the papers, and Marquess of Hexham dies. And, you know, everybody's thinking, oh, my God, he's out of a job. No, he's actually not out of a job.
Actually.
He has a whole new position and title. Yeah. And then when Edith announces it to the whole family that, well, actually, he's going to be the new
Marquess. He's going to be the Marquess.
And I just loved, again, Dad's you know, his expression, his reaction to all that golly gumdrops.
And golly
he's
gumdrops.
Just
golly
so gumdrops. Happy for his daughter.
And like, then Mary.
She's going to outrank all of them. Oh, I know the look
and
on
then
Mary.
And Mary, but he won't want to marry her now.
Yeah.
But the look on her when she realizes, wait a minute, I'm going to be outranked.
Yes. By Edith?
Yes. What? And even when Cora even says that thing, careful, you know, people are going to think you're jealous. You don't want that.
I'm glad right. that everybody called Mary out for the whole
everybody,
episode.
Everybody. The whole episode was terrific.
That,
yeah, it was great. Because, you know, a lot of people have been wanting that for a long time. Especially Edith. But I'm talking about the audience.
Yes.
Yeah, they've all been wanting her to get her comeuppance and get off her high horse and all of that stuff.
Yes.
I want to say Sylvana Dill, one of our YouTube watchers, says, I would like to take a bow for predicting that Birdie would rise and inherit just like
Nicely
Matthew
Rose.
So she said that in episode 3.
Yes.
And I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, but I can remember thinking that when Edith and Birdie, like maybe episode 3, maybe more like 4, were talking and he was going, oh, I'm just an agent and he's a, you know, he's
but
a
we knew
bachelor.
He was related.
Yeah.
Right, but he's a bachelor. I was like, that is important information I think is going to go Birdie's way. Mm-hmm. So, good job, Sylvana.
Yes, nicely.
Smart move.
And also, you know, because they kept talking about him. And, you know, after she had brought that up to us, we were even talking about it in the podcast. We were saying that, well, you know, that's how Matthew got his inheritance.
That
so it could
true.
Be possible. So, of course, this worked in that favor for him. And then, you know, after we learned that that's what's going to happen, you know, Edith has that conversation with Rosamund. You have to tell him. And, mm-hmm. and she's saying, well, you know, we're not bound. I haven't answered him yet. I'm going, yeah. Too bad.
You
had just said
that.
Yes.
Right. So. Right. Exactly. Had you only said yes last time he was here.
Yeah. Exactly.
But do you think that her hesitation now is because she didn't trust him, or do you think it was because of the fact that his circumstances have changed?
I think it's both. I mean, I think most of it was like still about the residual effect of how is he going to react to the fact that I have this past. Now, exacerbated by the idea that he has a title, he has a family to protect, he has all that kind of
apparently
stuff going on.
Apparently a shrew of a mother.
who is not going to take this well.
Not going to take kind to that
and,
at
you know,
all.
And, you know, because before, I don't think he would have cared. Now, it's not just about him. It's his family, it's his position, it's his title. All that other stuff plays into it, which is why she's, you know, and let's face it, you know, regardless of how everybody's thinking or opining about it, when it comes down to it and she's has the moment in the hallway when he says, please make me happy.
Right?
On my way to bed, and she thinks she calls it an indecent proposal,
which was great.
It was wonderful.
Very funny.
I'm going, say it, please.
Do it now.
Yeah, but no, she doesn't say it. She still doesn't say it. You know, she tries to. I mean, even when they're walking in the garden, when she says things like, they're sitting in the garden, and she says, "Look, things have changed now. You're not bound to me. You're free. You can go do what you want." And he doesn't want to.
Right.
Clearly doesn't. He still loves her, of course.
He doesn't say it.
Yeah, and she doesn't say it there. No. And he starts talking about rank and responsibility, and I need you.
And his mother thinks that.
Yes,
and but before that, he says, "I don't agree with everything that she says."
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like, back door.
Yes, I know. But he's also thinking that I do want to live up to the expectation
of all of that,
and I need your help in doing it. So
maybe mom
he's still
is
thinking
the funeral.
That.
So then it's all okay.
But I mean, but when you're in that hallway and you're Edith and you know if this is the hinge point and you gotta say it and you don't.
Here's the thing. He's there. She says she loves him.
Yes.
He's like all glowy in love and
I'll
just
take that as a yes.
Burn the mood.
I'll take that as a yes. She's wearing this gorgeous, you know, necklace that matches the beautiful
gown.
Don't tell me you didn't notice that.
No, I didn't.
Beautiful outfit.
That.
And he says, "Let me take that as a yes." Why didn't you say? And Marigold's my kid. And anyway,
and then
let's
he'd be
get
like,
married.
Oh,
and, never mind. Everything's
or
fine.
Say it while you kiss him.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Marigold's my kid.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you know?
Yeah.
Let me make you happy before you go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why you said you'd marry me because you wanted her to have a father.
Marigold's my kid. What?
Yeah.
What?
So. At that moment, I was thinking you. can't let him walk away and not say something. Of course, but that makes
sense. Of course she can.
Yeah, but she did.
Yeah, you can't.
Because she's
she
poor,
did.
Poor Edith.
And she did, because she's poor, poor Edith. So if you are Julian Fellowes and just trying to string out a story really long.
No, it would never happen.
And you are wonderful actresses, like the gal. Well, everybody on this show is an excellent actor. Yeah. Excellent, superb actor. I have to say, I think Edith did a really great job of saying, I'm not really sure, for several episodes without making it sound the same over and over.
She did take, very
the pain in her face altered.
A lot of
times.
Colors with the same hue, slightly different tint. Yes.
Good levels. Yeah. Good levels.
See?
Right. She did nicely.
Yes, she did.
Okay, but then, of course, she doesn't say anything, and we know who he is. I mean, that I thought there were so many great scenes in this, but let's stick with the storyline real quick, because she doesn't say anything. The next morning, Bertie, of course, is ready to say everything. He's waiting for Mary to come down so he can announce it to everybody because they have their good news. She's late. It's the first thing she says, where's Henry? He's not there, so she's pissed.
Yes.
And I just love Lord Grantham. This feels weird and uncomfortable. I'm out.
I got letters to write.
Tag, he taps out. He's gone.
Peace out.
And poor Bertie's, well, I was hoping
to tell everybody.
And then this is when I think he does a really good job, meaning Uncle Julian. You know Mary's going to tell. And the whole scene, you know she's going to tell. And everybody there knows she's going to say something. Yep. And they're all going, no, don't.
We're all clenching our butt cheeks.
Exactly.
Collectively clenched butt cheeks.
Yes. And of course, and then Edith.
And Tom, seriously, don't. You know what I mean? Like, he speaks what we're all thinking.
Yes.
I wish he would have grabbed her.
Like. And then when Edith starts talking about, she can't handle, I'm going to get married, and she's just lost her man, and she just can't. Shut your mouth.
You're pouring oil on it.
You want to talk? Last night, you should have talked all over the place and told Bertie everything.
Don't get to talk smack when you haven't told the truth.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
And you're just going, shut up, Edith. But
it's so much worse.
And you know it's all going to happen, but I don't care. The scene was great, and that's what I love about this is because
it was a great scene.
It's just really well. And then, of course, Mary.
It was so
just
nasty.
The way she did it was so nasty. And then when it's finding out, the look, she goes,
That look of satisfaction on her face was the thing. She had some killer looks this episode.
Yes.
But
so happy that it was there.
Pure satisfaction. Pick up the newspaper. I have done my thing.
That's right.
Horrible.
Smug.
And then Bertie, class act just goes, excuse me.
I'm just going to go over here.
So British.
British. Yes, love it.
It's very nice.
No.
Okay, but then I just love the scene after. First of all, I thought it was well shot. I love the shot. I love what she was wearing in it. Because, I'm paying attention to it. This is when she's saying goodbye or saying to Bertie outside. And they're having that conversation. It's like, why didn't you tell me? You didn't trust me. And you should have told me all along. And, and it's just brutal. It's just brutal.
Right. The other thing I loved about that scene is that she totally took responsibility
for all of it. Yes, she did. She didn't try to weasel out of it.
She didn't. And
again, I'm going, great, but you should have done that weeks ago.
But I was hoping in that moment Bertie was going to be like,
we can't do that.
Of course not.
No.
I mean, I knew it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, but you want him to because there was a moment.
Of it, and then if he knows her, you know what she's been through in her life.
Yeah.
Poor Edith. That's why she couldn't get her dolls to do what she wanted them to do.
Exactly. Thank you for bringing that up.
And he's kind of lived the same kind of life, being under the thumb of that mom.
Yeah.
So he kind of gets it. And there was a moment in the scene where the actor just took this look, and I'm going, oh my God, he is going to say something. But he didn't.
No, he didn't.
And I got, there you go, living up to the expectation, because he still has to, suss out what he needs to do in this position, because he's got a lot of things to consider now, which he never had to before.
Right. You thought he had responsibility before just being
the agent
estate
to
manager
the estate,
or whatever. Yeah. The looks on both of their faces.
Yeah, it was just,
the sadness, because it was, this resignation of... Yeah. I've done this, and you have to do this, and so we have to do this, and you have to go, and I can't even drive you to the station. Yeah. That's how much we have to break it right now.
Yeah.
It was so sad.
Yes, and I need to be somebody who trusts
me,
and I trust.
Worse.
And
that made it so much worse. If he was I can't with your illegitimate child,
that was bad
for my family, then we would be like, ugh, you're gross.
And,
it goes
right back to one of the first things she says in the episode, which is there will be a lie at the
heart
of
our marriage. Exactly.
And she knows that, and when he says it, you can't blame him, because that's exactly...
Him.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she says, you know, my life was just about to be
lovely,
wonderful, wow. And I've just thrown it all away. And of course, it's like, yes, of course, because you're poor, poor Edith.
That's what you
could
do.
It be anything different?
Exactly. So it has to be that way. All right, but let's move on because we have lots to cover.
Oh, we do.
So after that, you know, then the first thing I love that, you know, the way the scene they have with Mary and Tom, and he calls her out. She's sitting down. She's being defiant.
She looked like such a witch. She was wearing dark stuff. It was like the witch of the East.
And she's trying to play like, oh, I had no idea she didn't say anything. How could I know? And he just calls her out. Don't lie. And I thought it was terrific, wonderfully acted by Alan.
Coward.
Yes, coward. The whole thing
you
is all
you can't stop ruining things for Edith or yourself. You ruined Edith's life today. How many lives are you going to wreck just to smother your own misery? Yes. And then he says, you're a coward, Mary. Like all bullies, you're a coward. Yeah. I mean, that was... Yeah. A heck of a speech. A heck of a fight.
I'll have the audience go, yes!
Go! To her.
Yeah, it was wonderfully acted. I thought it was well written. And the energy in it was amazing.
Yes.
And, you know, I think probably only Tom is the person that this could come from.
First of all,
because of their relationship. And second of all, because he is an outsider.
Yeah.
You know, who has come in and assimilated. Yeah. He's one of the few people who can show emotions.
And he is one of the few that's ever stood up to the family in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, they've developed, obviously, this wonderful, complex relationship that really is brother-sister where you can tell each other when you need to. And if
How do you know that, John?
I have three sisters. Three brothers, that's why. But what I liked also
Irish.
Was that, yeah, that's true. So they had a lot of scenes where Mary would say her thing and walk away, and nobody would stop her.
Right.
And this time, she tries to walk away, and he gets right in front of her and says, no, no, no. You're the bully in this, like all bullies, you're a coward, and then walks away, which is what, you know, because every other time she got to walk away.
Right.
So I liked that they did those parallel scenes, so we got to see finally somebody's going to make her face this. But that wasn't enough, and it was great because it just set up the next scene between Mary and Edith, which was fabulous.
Right, we got to see a little bit of it coming up.
Yes,
it was fabulous, yet still so ladylike of Edith. Uh-huh. Like she didn't get dirty in it to me.
And,
like,
and even before, I'm sorry to interrupt, but she's going up the stairs, and it looks like Mary's going to her room, and she goes, she decides, oh, I'll go talk to Edith.
Okay,
you know, and Edith even calls her out and goes, well. Tom must have said something because it's the only reason why you're here. And then she has just great. And each time Mary would try to come back at something with, well, if Birdie was
not about that.
Again, and just like Tom, where he stopped her, now she's getting stopped by Edith, but not by standing in front of her, but actually just verbally and by her presence stopping her justification, her rationalization. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm going, geez, Mary is just, this is great. She's getting swatted all over the place.
Well, you know, and part of it is, as wretched as she is, which is why we love her, plus she's, you know, all beautiful
she's
and crap.
She's everything.
You know, I mean, the fact that she, you know, we have to admit that she's kind of the love to hate her character at some times, Mary.
Okay.
You know, her coldness and her standoffishness and her superiority. And now that I've had that explanation, I forgot what I was going to say. It had something to do with the fact that, you know, as a character arc, we're sort of revealing all of the, you know, the reasons behind her coldness and her bullying and her cowardice. And, you know, it's
her
coming.
Stuck-up.
Yeah. And it's coming down to this fact that, you know, she's fearful. And we're going to talk about her in a minute. But part of what I was thinking about is, it's been a few years since she's been a widow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she's always going to be a widow.
Right.
But I mean, it's the sting of the loss of Matthew is a little bit in the past. And so I think maybe people feel like, you know what? She doesn't have any free.
Yeah, you don't get a pass.
Yeah, that was my. Right? I'm like, this is a cop out. The whole. Well, we'll talk about it eventually when she talks about her feelings about Matthew. But I'm like, but you were a bitch before Matthew. So. And when, especially with the Edith situation, like that was long before Matthew was like the man of your dreams. So
that's the whole sister history.
You're just a cold bitch
or
most
sistery,
of the time.
Exactly.
So, you know, Matthew is what made you a little bit softer some
of the time.
Exactly.
Because Matthew was able to bring the part of you.
So who you actually are is who you were before and who you are right now. And hopefully wasn't Henry will.
Okay, but let's get to this then, because it was a great scene there with Mary and Edith and calling her out. And, you know,
I know you.
What is it? The nasty, you know, jealous,
you are
scheming,
nasty, jealous,
bitch, and all that kind of
scheming
stuff.
Bitch.
And the other thing was when she says, you know, look, don't demean yourself by trying to justify your venom.
Yeah.
And then just get out and all this stuff. And she decides to leave. And then on the way out, she says, and by the way, you're wrong. Is you
I love this epilogue of this conversation.
Exactly. Because the whole time she's been telling people that I know myself and nobody, you know. Nobody believes I know my heart or my mind, whatever
blah,
it is.
Blah, blah,
and
blah.
She's saying, no, but you're wrong. He's Henry's perfect for you, and you're just too stupid, too stuck up to realize it.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, and to have Edith say it to her, I thought was just
amazing.
Way to go.
Do you think that got through to her?
I think so, but
it's all been
really,
sort of chipping away.
Because everything was chipping away. What Dad said, what Tom said. But again, let's get to what really, for me, all those were leading up to the Violet and Mary scene, because this goes to the heart of their story too, the sister story, because, you know, Tom of course writes the letter, gets the dowager back, which is
back.
Way to go, Tom.
I know, right?
I want to read that letter.
Me too.
It was very persuasive.
Very persuasive. Very eloquent. Yes, that was it. So of course she gets back, and the first thing she says is, "Where are my broken-hearted,
broken-hearted granddaughters?"
Just go, way to go.
Grammys can fix things. They have magic wands. I'm telling you, they do.
They have magic wands, and that's why she has that cane.
Right? Yeah.
Nanny McPhee, like
I only had one Grammy, but she had a magic wand.
Oh, did she?
It was like a wooden spoon, I think.
But. Exactly. I'm like, it's a magic wand or a weapon.
Exactly. Sometimes it's the same thing because it gets shit done.
Exactly.
All right. So that's so Violet comes in and has just. I thought the Tom scene, Tom and Mary scene, I thought the Edith and Mary scene was going, how could it be? And then, boom, I go, okay, forget it.
Bravo.
This is even better than those.
Bravo.
So much, because you finally get to see Mary crack, you finally get to see the cold-hearted bitch, and you got to see the fear and the pain underneath, and only with Grandma could you see it. Because here, you know, there's this unspoken thing, because in some ways, I think Mary wants to be, you know, beyond what Grammy was in terms of her stoicness and sternness and, you know, the idea of the tradition and all that other stuff. I think that's what she lives to.
Grandmother. She's
sorry,
not Grammy.
Whatever. Well, she says she calls her Granny.
Granny, yeah.
No.
Yeah. So Violet says, why did you do it?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But the first thing, the look.
Why did you do it? I don't know. She was so...
We all feel that.
For those who aren't viewing this,
I totally got that.
Yeah, the expression on Mary's face about Edith. Yeah, you guys got that?
I totally got that.
Because
you definitely have that sister that's like, and you're like.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was great. It
happens.
Because we've had so much great dialogue, it was wonderful not to have it be in written language.
And that was a goofy ass face.
It was.
It was very funny.
It was a very sister thing. And she goes, there's just something about Edith. I say stuff and I can't unsay it.
So
which
sisterly.
Which is almost exactly
what
Violet said.
Exactly.
And I'm just going, there's the parallel.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just thought it was great. And then for Violet to be able to get to her in such an emotional way, for her to peel back that thing to say, look, I just can't be another crash widow. I can't do it. Which, you know, speaks because she's trying so hard to be strong and all that other stuff. And that's it. She doesn't have the strength for it. She can't do it.
Well, and, you know, being Mary, you have to imagine she falls in love with this man whose second love is cars. And, you know, you have to
of
be Mary kind of looking at the irony of it and going, good Lord, of all the things you could be.
that had to be that.
That is the worst.
Yeah.
And look
but
at
it's
us.
The one that will make you face yourself and everything that's messy inside you.
Yeah, because which is the best thing you have to fix. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, and Violet says, well, here's what is.
Oh, but before that, I'm sorry, I wanted to get this part. You know, she's saying, look, you know, Tony Gilling had just about everything. He had a breeding, a position, he had all that kind of title, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But he didn't have the brains or the strength. That equaled you.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know,
he this man is clever and he is strong.
Yes. And we saw that throughout. So we'll get to their story time, too. She goes, so I believe in love was a thing. And it's like, because I haven't heard anything like that from Violet. I mean,
we tried to get it, but she still went back to practicality with it.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
She pulled back on
it. But then as the grandmother, I think she realized, look, I want her to be happy. I want her to find some happiness. I think the only way she's gonna is if she releases some of that tradition and rank and, yeah. and because the way she laid it out is there's got to be some love in there somewhere. And this is maybe that only possibility for you.
So I don't know what the total quote was because I couldn't get it. Mm-hmm. But when she said something about Mary being cold and selfish, but yes. still wanting to be grand, and like they were trying to be, I was like, that was amazing. I don't know what the quote was because I couldn't remind it, but it was something to that effect. And I was like, yes, she just puts it on display: cold, selfish, ugly, all of it, mm-hmm. and she's mm-hmm. the only one.
And she's and Mary says, "Don't try to talk to me about sentimental." But anyway. But she says, I believe in love, and I think that kind
of... I believe in rules, I believe in tradition, et cetera, right. but I believe in love.
And Granny, you surprised me. And then, so I'm glad. So climbing those stairs wasn't a waste.
That's something
Thank
my
you
Grammy
for cutting the scene. Exactly. It was great. Cutting the scene with some humor was terrific. Because then you allowed yourself to even feel better and cry even more. Because, I mean, I was wanting to... After she'd been beaten up so bad, you really need your grandmother to kind of, you know, let's put things in perspective.
You know...
And first... Make peace with your sister.
Right.
And then make peace with yourself. I thought it was great because I was not expecting that.
That is some serious advice.
Because I thought she was going to say, then go get Henry.
Exactly. She didn't say pick Henry.
No, she said make peace with yourself. So stop fighting yourself.
Yeah.
Stop fighting your feelings. Quit going with your head and your position and whatever it is. Stop fighting. Make peace.
The thing that I keep remembering about Violet is that moment. Oh, God, I can't even talk about it.
Okay, go ahead.
The moment where, after Sybil's death, when she's entering the room, right? She's entering the room, and she has to steady herself, right? And so, I mean, it's such a, the grandparent to grandchild love is so special because all of the, you know, difficulty is removed and all of like the shininess is there. And so, you know, her coming in as the, you know, person who can save her brokenhearted granddaughters. Yeah. Because she's lost one.
Yeah.
And so she has to not only save these two, but reconnect these two. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Had Grandma not stepped in, would we have had the scene where he just comes back?
And she's talking about them remembering they're the only ones that will. I can't.
Okay. Yeah. So, John, this is where you need to talk. We're gonna have a drink of wine, and then you need to talk.
I was like, jeez. I'm going, did he break out all the stops? Uncle Julian wrote some really nice scenes for these ladies. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they all played them just beautifully.
Beautifully.
Edith comes back. They're all so shocked. Can we have the room? Yeah, I'll scoot up.
Yeah.
Please, too.
Okay, I love the way she apologizes. Yeah. You know I'm sorry.
Okay, I don't have to actually say it.
Yeah, that's your apology?
I liked it because it was so sisterly. Yeah, I'm not saying I'm sorry again. You know I'm sorry.
That's
like,
right.
I love that's right. that.
You're right, because
so
that
much.
Is how I would say it to my sister. You know, I'm sorry.
Well, you'd have to be or you'd be insane.
I mean, I
probably have said that to our sisters, right?
She did finally say, well, I am sorry. But, you know, it was kind of like a throwaway and stuff like that. But the idea, but why did you come back? And the other thing about, you know, I don't know why I said right, of course, because you weren't happy and you wanted me to be unhappy, too. Yeah. I mean, and
now
I
that you're that. Happy, you'll be nicer.
Exactly. But this is the one thing that I was thinking, okay, God, I wanted so desperate. The only thing for me that was missing that scene, I wanted Mary to realize, am I that common? Does it really come down to me just not... I'm not happy, so I want you to be happy. Really? That's what it comes down to?
That simple?
I know.
They never do.
I know, but I'm going, that would have been the thing right there, because then that might have been able to change for her to come to that realization, but she's not really
But that's what
do
kept
that.
It in reality for
exactly,
me.
Exactly,
because she's, what, 35 now?
Whatever the hell she is,
you know,
yeah, she's still.
She's not.
And it was such a common thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, she thinks she's so above it and stuck up. And then, well, no, it really just comes down to
you're
miserable. Exactly. Your misery wants my company. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. So, but I love the way that they redeemed themselves, especially Edith in that scene, just talking about how.
Because one day only you and I will remember Sybil.
That was like, I was done.
Yeah. Yes.
And
then to go on.
Our shared memories
will mean more than our mutual dislike. I'm going, damn, if I could go through and count all the lines, like, gee, beautiful line, Julian. I mean, great, great, great lines. And especially to have those lines between those sisters when we've after the last scene we had them, was such, there was venom like crazy.
Right, because the thing, no, I know. I'm a crier, whatever. We know that. But the thing is that it was very true to who they yeah. are because, yes. you know, for them to go, oh, you know what, it's okay, we're mm-hmm. awesome, everything's fine. It's not, yeah. no. it's not no. true to those characters.
No, and it goes, the way this scene when Sybil died, when they had that moment when let's be sisters like we should be and all that other stuff, this was very in keeping with that. And, you know, if that wasn't going to change, then why would this?
No.
It wouldn't.
So, I mean, hopefully by, you know, as you get older, you'll hopefully. And I thought Edith made the best. I mean, because let's face it, Edith with Pamuk and the whole thing, she, you know, she's no angel in this.
No.
But I think that so, showed such a level of maturity to come back and the lines it's to say that, look, because I think at the end of the day, when they're all gone, it's only going to be you and me to remember Sybil.
And she loved her sister yeah. where she is and who she is because she knows who Mary is.
Exactly.
And
right.
she took that and she even accepted it. And
when she was talking to her editor, yeah. she was talking about how we're stuck in this, you know, Cain and Abel kind
like,
of battle.
I don't know
stuff,
why.
Whatever. Exactly. Because no. your sister. But at the end, to show her at Sybil's gravesite.
I mean, back up just a tiny bit.
All right, go ahead.
You look nice, by the way.
Yeah, there was that. Finally gave her that at the end of the scene. That was good. That was good. That was nice.
In your wedding
moment.
Dress, on your way to your exactly. wedding, whatever. Oh, you look nice,
you.
By the way.
You look all right.
Yeah, exactly. But she was there, and even at the church, I think she looked, in her way, I think Edith was happy for her
she
sister.
She was happy for her, I believe
I think so.
That.
And, right, okay, so and at Sybil's grave,
right.
when she was watching the very last scene, watching the kids
yeah.
run around,
yeah.
Our feed got cut off a little bit, so we didn't get to see the very
yeah,
like,
no, but we had two great graveside scenes.
But,
we'll get
yeah.
to the other one.
Right, yeah, second. We'll get to that one. But, I mean, you know, kind of accepting who she was and where she was,
right.
Edith.
Right.
And seeing the children and knowing right. that's part of her legacy. There
yes.
may be a little bit of a repair between her and her sister. And,
right. We're, a little bit.
You look nice, by the way.
Yeah.
That was
as far as I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And there's joy and hopefulness in her future.
Yeah, there
She's
was. There was hope.
Backlit with a nice little soft halo of
it
golden
was.
Light. Mm-hmm. And her dad just said, you know, she's the one that surprises me and we're hopeful.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, she's not poor, poor Edith.
No.
I don't believe that.
But
bring me your cup.
Well, because of what you said, that's what I thought was
I'll
great.
Take it.
Regardless of what happens. The fact that she came back and was there for her sister, the fact that she came back and said why, because the whole Sybil thing,
reactions
I thought, well,
are slow.
She showed so much more growth and maturity than Mary.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was hope for that relationship because of Edith.
That's that yes. middle child skill. Just
there you
in
go.
In case y'all don't know.
Hey, whatever. Yeah.
Whatever.
Holla, middle kid.
Right here. Right here.
We got to represent over
Except
here.
Except the crazies kind, around you.
You're kind of a middle
are.
Child,
no,
too.
No.
In a way, you are.
I'm the sixth of seven. I don't know if that would be considered.
You're the second of the second three.
All right. Well, we're gone.
Anyway.
Like,
anyway.
That's too complicated.
Because so, we still have so much
we
to cover. But I want to talk. Now specifically
oh,
about Mary Henry because
okay.
again Tom fabulous throughout
yes,
you know talking
was.
About this you know just going on and on to her going look would you, you know, trying to get her to wake up knock her upside
get
the head
clue.
Come to senses and you know she's being so staunch in her position
mm-hmm.
that you can't you know and the more people are trying the more she's just being entrenched
so when they're in the woods the, first
yeah.
of all again beautiful
oh,
shot
green.
Yeah. Wasn't
oh,
that gorgeous
your envy
they're,
and your
and I love the way they framed
green.
It because they were kind of small and the framing
yeah.
of the trees were just
we live big. In the desert we don't see green things
very
I know
yeah.
it's so exciting. I was excited about the grass, by the way.
In the first
yeah,
view,
in the meadow.
Right?
That
yes.
meadow, like the first
yes.
scene with the tall grass. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sorry,
meadows, also things we only see in movies and pictures.
We saw a sagebrush.
But incredibly beautiful. And,
yeah.
you know, the word that I used to describe Mary in that scene was despondent. I mean,
mm-hmm.
she was just, you know, going through the motions, you know,
mm-hmm.
because she had sent Henry away last episode, you
mm-hmm.
know. So... and she figured out about Marigold.
Right.
You know,
yes.
that was where
yeah.
she, like...
And that's... You know, hopefully
right.
she figured out months ago.
Yeah.
Right.
But
she
just let she on.
Just,
she just figured, you know, it's like
yeah.
Like everything. I don't need to play that card yet. So...
yeah.
And the way...
That
I love the way...
Hand.
Scheming bitch.
Yeah, but the when
yeah.
she tries... To, when she plays it is to call somebody else out about being dishonest.
Yes. Because she's a scheming
yeah,
bitch.
Exactly. We call that projection. But she figures that out. So, and again, then she's going to hold it, and she keeps holding it and holding it and holding it, and just tries to drop the bomb when she needs to. When somebody's attacking her, she's like, oh, yeah.
Oh,
Yeah. But anyway.
Okay. So are we talking about Henry?
We're going to go to Henry. Let's talk
Henry. So, you know, Tom has his conversation. Well, Tom and Mary are having the conversation at the top of the stairs, and he's saying, get off your high horse.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've had enough of you. I am sick of you. You are enough of a sister that I can just tell you.
Love you,
and
Tom.
Henry.
I think this fight's about
along.
Me.
You betcha.
Yeah.
Of course it is, Henry.
Yeah, exactly.
So, his comment of "I'm going to make this as hard and as horrible." Is that right?
As hard and as horrible
as I can.
And he touched her, and I was like, "Oh, she's going to melt." No, she didn't.
Oh, no.
Ice queen.
Takes more to melt her than that.
Turned away, pissed off.
Right.
Well, yeah, and I thought, you know, so much of this was great because it was nuanced. Because you could easily say it was just because, well, you're not going to tell me how to feel and how to think, and that ain't going to work with me.
Right.
But it's also underneath that is, get away from me. I'm scared shitless
about
where this is going to end up, because I do not want to be a crash widow.
I cannot do
but
this.
I can't say that part because I can't reveal that I'm scared.
Scared,
right, because she has to come out on the offensive.
Like, exactly.
You're calling me a gold digger. You're accusing me of all this stuff. You've got a nerve, because that will just make him go. Most guys will go away. However, we've revealed she has found her match.
Her equal, and that he is strong, he's intelligent.
He is not a guy who's going to walk away.
Slightly stalkerish.
And I'm going, kudos for you for standing your ground and deciding. But I'm going, why? Yes. Get away from her. She's crazy.
Run fast.
Exactly. Because I was with Edith when she said, thank God we can be happy about the fact that that he's left you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, yeah, good. Because I like Henry. I don't really want him to end up with Mary. She's not the nicest person in the world.
But you know, sometimes he would regulate on her in a way that nobody ever has been able to.
Well, that's true. And we can say the effect that Matthew had, there is some, you know, but as you just mentioned, she is who she is.
I think she is
the scorpion.
Who she is, but he is who he is.
That's
and
right.
Sometimes you need somebody that has the whip. She needs to not be the only one with a whip sometimes.
Right. So, and of course, he shows up just, you know, unannounced again.
Which, in her defense, if you just, like, broke up with somebody and your mom and dad are like, oh, go ahead.
No. Okay. But Cora's great. Well, look, it's 5:30. Where's he going to go?
Our argument was fair. We can't
be rude.
But at the same time, if that was my mom, I'd be like, God damn it. Don't you know I'm trying to get rid of it? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got it.
Which is why I love the scene when she goes upstairs and she confronts Cora. So what are you doing?
What's happening?
Yeah, and they're all going, nobody thinks it's a good idea. But as soon as she leaves, Rosamund goes, oh, she clearly loves him.
Yeah, and I love how Rosamund's inserted everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
everywhere.
Randomly, like, while she's getting, Cora's getting dressed, Rosamund's there. Like,
exactly.
Because she's recovering from a cold.
A terrible cold. You know, it's so interesting because 10 years ago, 7 years ago even, it would have been, I don't agree with this. I don't think this is a good match. You know, there would have been all this pressure from above.
Mm-hmm.
And society has changed so much.
It has changed. Exactly. But I also think that these ladies are getting older.
Yeah.
we got to get them.
We don't want to deal with this.
We got to get them.
Exactly. You have some money, Mary. Get married.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it.
And then we don't have to deal with you
anymore.
Yes. So. But I mean, this conversation of we don't agree with it, but you know, we're going to let it slide.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting.
He's
handsome. It's interesting.
He's smart. Mm-hmm. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, then after she gets beat up by everybody, which is good because she needed to be taken down a peg of 5.
Yeah. Indeed.
So, so that she could come down to his level, because she kept talking about sinking to his level.
Oh, she said such dirty things this episode. Oh, Mary.
Okay, but didn't you, yes, they were horrible, and if you just took them at face value, you just could God, what a bitch. But then you realize that's how painful and scared she was.
Yeah. That's right.
That she was willing to say those things. Just, I'll keep saying horrible things to keep people away.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So, but it takes a lot to be able to see that. Because you just want to say, well, screw you.
Yeah.
Fine, I'm leaving.
Forget you.
But at some level, I think Henry realized that there's something else going on here.
That's why he kept that marriage license in his pocket.
And certainly Tom
did.
Thank
you, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So that was like a surprise. All right, so do we want to just get to that? Because, we've already talked about all the other stuff. But the fact that he came back when he got summoned back. Because after Mary makes peace, she calls him back, writes a letter.
She knows.
Yeah. What's that? Damn
okay, just I'm sorry. I just got a tweet from Caroline.
All right,
who
go ahead.
She and I are BFFs right now. Her fervent wish is that Birdie's mom is played by Dame Judi Dench in the Christmas special. It's not. It wouldn't be because we. Yeah, but I love that.
That's a great idea. Great thought.
Because there's actually an appropriate aged woman. She's. I can't remember her name.
Age appropriate?
In that age category, who could be Birdie's mother.
Oh, gotcha. Sure.
Matilda, I want to say. You Brits will know who I'm talking about. I can't remember at the moment. Anyway, it's not going to be Jamie.
Okay. Anyway, so we were talking about how he came back. He gets summoned back. And he's. Mm-hmm. I thought, again, another great scene between the two, because so much is like...
The 3/2.
Oh, yeah. Tom's there. And again, he's going, oh, okay, I've had enough of this courtship.
Done.
I'm out. You guys take it from here.
I did what I can. Make it work. Tim Gunn, make it work.
It is up to...
Project Runway, for those of you who don't
like
know the reference.
I leave you to it. Definitely.
So, and just a great scene, just all the dialogue there. You know, he's like, are you always this cool? I hope you are.
And him talking about how can you be so cool because I'm like having palpitations. It's not what he said. But
later on, she's saying, I'm not a schoolgirl. I don't tremble. And he goes, well, I am. And he goes, okay, I know why I said that. I am too.
That was so cute, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was cute. And again, and I think that's her too. If she would just get off it.
Give it up.
Exactly. You could have a ball with this guy.
Yeah.
If you just get up. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, but it was a great scene. It was after all the other angst and tension and anger. Yes. It was good to see that scene. I needed it. So go ahead.
And her declaration of "I believe I have met my match," right. Because that's really what Matthew was for her.
Sure.
He was the guy who could stand up for her, but always believed in the best in her.
He could stand up for her and stand up to her.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah. Stand up to her and believed in the best of her.
Sure.
He could see.
Which she didn't often show.
What she didn't show to anyone else.
Yeah, exactly.
He made her tremble like she was 20 again.
Exactly. So, let's get married on Saturday.
Yeah, that was like, what? Wait, whoa,
weird and thirsty. Is that normal?
I guess it is, because she says England.
Oh, we need a bishop. My cousin's
well,
a
she
bishop.
Was like, good old England. Should we go elope to Gretna Green, which is weird because there's a street named Gretna Green in my neighborhood. And I had an English buddy who, Doreen, told me that was where one would elope to. It was essentially the Vegas of England. Okay. That's where you could elope to.
Learn something new every day.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, no, as a matter of fact, I happen to have right here.
I have a license.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to just get a license without the other person?
Signing
it? How does this work? I'm not married, obviously, but like...
Well, who knows back then? I don't know.
Back then, like, were you just like, snatch it up, I'm going to hold on to it until, like...
Well, you have a time, you have a window.
And
you
make her
say
yes.
You have to execute it by...
Clever
over the
head
with
the license.
Like, you will marry me. That was just strange, but entertaining, but strange.
Yeah. Peerage has its advantages.
It does, because he's got a bishop as an uncle.
Exactly. Oh.
And P.S., the guy who did the wedding also had done other weddings in that, so... He's the local vicar.
He's the
local uncle.
I'm guessing, was he the local bishop?
I don't know. I think vicar is a general term.
Well, I know. Okay. So
very presumptuous, though.
Sorry, we're revealing our
ignorance. Because they were never actually engaged.
No, never were.
So he went and got... Yo, Henry.
He, you know, it's called a presumptive close.
All right. Do you?
He has.
She never actually said yes.
He may have to give him the card racing, but he might. I mean, he's got a really good job as a salesperson because that dude knows how to close.
Exactly.
He closed that deal for sure.
Yeah, that's a tough one to close. But anyway, okay. So what did you think of the wedding?
Tom saying, I've been the best man at both of her weddings. First of all, they both looked like beautiful.
Yes.
I'm talking about the men, Tom and Henry, getting into the car. The stick pin with the jewel on it, like great looking, the boutonnieres. Mm-hmm. I just did a wedding recently. So it's all in my mind. But I've been the best man at both of her weddings. Mm-hmm. And you know, Henry acknowledges you've been a really good friend. You've been not only kind of a foundational relationship for Mary, but you've kind of gone to bat for me a few times, right?
If it wasn't for him, it wouldn't have happened.
And you can pay me back by taking care of her, he says.
Yes.
Good, I mean, just a great brother. Just a great brother.
Oh, so good.
But not only that, but let's face it, Tom throughout, the way he was with Edith when she pulled up to him in the car and he's just saying, and he goes, do you want me to talk to him?
Because I will.
I loved it.
And she did too. No, but I love you for asking.
Reasons I wanted a brother, not two
there
sisters.
You go.
I loved that.
Tom, you got two sisters here who would appreciate your help.
We need a brother.
We could use a brother over here.
Not chopped liver.
No, you're not, but you're not.
John.
No, sorry.
All right, so... So yeah, and then the wedding, of course, not a huge to do because she's already done that. She doesn't want another one. But was it? They look good.
Lovely.
What do we think
of
her gown?
It was good.
It was simple.
Her dress.
It was fine. I thought her hair looked silly.
You didn't like the pin curls?
I didn't like the pin curls.
And
oh my god, the kiss. Okay,
it was like.
I didn't like it. It made her look. Well, I mean, you know, I suppose she is a matron
she's
at this
supposed
point.
To look she's, aged.
Yeah, she did. It just. She's much more beautiful and glamorous than that hairdo is.
Okay.
When they were coming out mm-hmm. and being...
The petals were being thrown.
And he kissed her. Mm-hmm. She was all one color. She is so pale.
Wow. She's alabaster, Tamara. She's alabaster.
Yeah, I'm sorry, alabaster, not
I know,
white.
And it's super desirable at that time. But it was just striking to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't think she looked... bad. I'm not saying it was bad, but she's...
It was shocking to you that she just... Well,
it was all one color.
Exactly, except the stark hair.
Melted into her angelicness.
And sweetness as they were going away, you know, everybody wishing them well, and so...
In the cart, and he's
you
like,
won't
now
be disappointed.
You have me, you won't be disappointed.
Adore.
I was like, I wouldn't be disappointed. You look so good in that hat. I'm great.
So we're pleased with this. You guys were happy.
I really wasn't looking at Mary very much. I looked at Henry, and
so that
I vote yes.
You swooned.
I vote yes.
Okay.
Thank God it wasn't Tony Gillingham. Right. No offense.
Yeah. Thank God. That. Sorry, I don't know who that
this
guy is.
This is a better match.
I apologize.
This is a better match.
But this one
he's tall and he looked beautiful.
Okay, how long will it last?
And those eyes.
let's get the bets out. How long will this last?
Stop it.
When did
divorce
become a big deal in England?
Not during Mary's lifetime.
Not during Mary's lifetime?
No.
He'd suffer. He'd just cheat.
No!
He would cheat.
No, totally. The way he will.
Well,
he's like a regular dude. With the car.
Even Mary thought that, you know, when Tom was asking her about her marriage, well, she was talking about their marriage with Matthew, that we were in love.
Would lose its luster.
Would lose its luster. And
I think Matthew would have divorced her. Yeah. Because I think she is like perma-bitch. Like, she's going to be salty person for her entire life. And at some point, that's going to get exhausting. Like, so once the kids grew up and everything, Matthew would be like, girl... It's 1930. It's a depression. I'm going to go to America and go be depressed there. You be depressed here.
Wow.
That's all right. If Matthew stayed around.
All right, Courtney. But now with Henry, the same
really
deal?
What do you think? I don't know. Henry's sort of... I think Matthew was like more the like intellectual, kind, smart, mm-hmm. I'm going to get you with my smarts kind of thing. Henry seems like... girl, I will cuss you out kind of guy. So, like, I feel like they would have I feel like they would continue to fight for all eternity. So they'd be like grandma and
so
grandpa.
So at least there'd
like
be passion
fighting.
There.
Yeah, there'd be passion.
Right?
So we'll see.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, we have to get on to other
we
things.
We do.
Because that was, like, nothing to do
with
that.
Oh, my God, we've only done two topics.
Well, that was the main stuff of the
that
show.
Was the meat.
I mean, it was really about the sisters meat. And that whole thing. But, okay, let's get to the Thomas thing. Because, I think on, was it episode 2 or 3, that we were talking about how they were positioning, Julian was positioning Thomas to possibly commit suicide, and of course
Tamara
he makes the attempt.
You were on it.
I said it.
That was me.
We all said it. We all agreed.
Regardless,
I wouldn't feel bad about it by episode 5.
But here's the thing that you know, and I thought it was surprised that Uncle Julian decided not to show. Not the actual act, but the leading to it, the choice, the final decision, because so much of it happened off screen that I wasn't as, I didn't think it was as dramatic as I wanted it to be. It's not that I'm saying I needed to see the blood, like the spewing of Lord Grant.
There was more blood at dinner.
I know, exactly.
That
was shocking.
But I think that the thing that struck me more, because I agree, I was like, we didn't really see it. I don't have feelings. But what I felt was when the servants came in and like when Baxter came back, there is a calm lovingness more so than I expected. Like, they were still very practical. Like, we have to take care of this. We have to. Mm-hmm. But there was an energy about the servants that helped him that sort of made me feed into the story more than, because I still have feelings about Barrow. That,
yeah.
You know, I was like, right.
For me, what was missing was that moment. I thought it would have been very dramatic and it would have been really interesting to be there in that moment before he did it. I didn't need to see the point where he's actually slashing.
To see
but just because
the choice actually happened.
We've been for weeks now. We've been going on about how forlorn he is, how alone he is, and you know, and that's been effective. Although it started to get a little repetitive for me.
So I
wanted to see that moment of just complete
despair.
Despair, exactly.
Yeah. I would have preferred that over when Baxter realizes she needs to go back to the house. Yeah. And Mosley just is like, what? Beryl was nice to me.
Exactly.
As we were talking about something else.
Because
like,
the only
like
moment they had was in the hallway when Anna says, are you all right? Yeah. Of course. Why wouldn't I be? And I'm, right. and I'm going, but that wasn't, I mean, you're leading this whole thing. And then you just took that moment away from us. And I was like, well, I didn't.
Because he didn't want us to care about him.
So in theory, the thing that set him over the edge was this letter that said, we wish you well in your future. And he said, what future?
Yeah.
And
don't be silly, silly me.
Yeah, no, right, because I'm silly. I mean, right.
Yeah, I know, but obviously that wasn't the one thing, but there's a bunch of things leading up to it. There's all his whole history and everything like that.
But we watched him prepare to do the poisoning of himself.
Exactly.
We watched him prepare to shoot himself
his hand.
In the hand.
That's what I mean. Those moments like beforehand
those are much stronger.
Were fabulous, and I thought he did a terrific job when he acted those, and those were really powerful scenes, and I was expecting that because we had seen that. We know he's capable of that, and it was tremendously effective when we got to see them.
This was my great disappointment of this episode, was that we did not get to get in there and really have a sense of his despair and his pain and his
because I think it,
motivation to do that. Because that's a very significant choice
to make. And you want to reach out and say, no, don't. For instance, like the scene where Mary, you know she's going to say. We're in that morning
and
room.
We were like,
we know what's going to happen. Don't say it. Edith, shut up. I want to be that room when he's deciding and I want to be going, don't do it. And we didn't get to see that. And I think for me, that was a mistake. I would have loved to have seen that. I think it would have been more effective, more dramatic, all those kinds of things. And I think it even overshadowed the scene when Mary comes in with Master George.
Because you don't get the...
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't get...
Exactly.
I don't know what that word is because I don't speak English. It wasn't there.
It's partly about the connection and it's partly about the disparity between them. It's those two...
The juxtaposition of those things. And his realization, like, my God, what did I do? How low did I sink? And the fact that because I didn't even get the sense, was he happy that it didn't work? Was he shocked? Was he ashamed?
I wasn't sure.
What? I mean, I missed those moments too.
Yeah.
And because we were spending so much time with that storyline and always ringing the bell, hey, look, guess what? He's going to commit suicide. And then to have it not come into fruition, I was just felt denied that.
Yeah,
and
green.
I wanted that. Exactly.
Green.
And I felt that way.
Moment.
I felt a little bit.
Cheated.
That. Because again, like we said, he's done a wonderful job in other scenes where we've seen him make those decisions, and it would have been nice to see that.
Maybe it was too long.
It could have been, but you know.
Editing. They only had 72 minutes.
That's true, but we could have easily trimmed up some of the other scenes.
Yeah, there are things that could have been trimmed. Okay, but so the scene between Thomas and Mary with Master George and bringing in the orange.
Yeah.
And I can't, why did you do it? And he says, sometimes I just can't stop myself. Mm-hmm. And she said, I could say the same of myself.
It was a great parallel.
Right?
I appreciated that.
Right, and that goes back to what I was talking about earlier about, like, all the layers of Mary being pulled away in this episode and us really seeing, like, the base of the foundation of where she is coming from.
Because we did a fabulous job of showing that. You know, how many times did she get knocked around? How many times did she finally reveal? And I'm going, you could have taken one of those and kind of pulled that and let us see that with Thomas.
Yeah.
He was just a lowly servant.
But we didn't get to see it.
Yeah. I just want to represent for some of our Twitter and YouTube watchers and viewers that you know, some of them just aren't buying it about Thomas.
They're not buying it?
It's not that they don't... it's a little like feeling sympathy for Mary.
Sure, got it. Yeah.
It's, you know, remember all the wretchedness that he has created in
no
his
question.
Past.
No and question. Which is why I think it was equally, I mean, way more important than
the
show. That.
I agree, because
thank
I didn't
you.
Feel, I yeah. honestly, when he was in the bathtub, I was like, well, saw that coming.
Okay. Exactly. Okay. That's kind of...
I'm not that upset. I appreciated Mrs. Hughes and the concern and energy that they brought into the room afterwards, and that's where my focus went. It wasn't really on Thomas. And I got intellectually when George is coming in the room and all of this, like what I'm supposed to feel now. But it's like what I'm supposed to feel,
rather
not what I
feeling.
Actually felt.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just think, man, that was such a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
because that could have been horrendous and just gut-wrenching.
And that was what we were kind of hoping
for.
It was a dramatic moment missed.
Yeah. I needed you to make me love him again.
Yeah.
Or at least feel bad.
But it was...
Feel sympathetic, at
I did really like the parallel that they drew between Thomas
and Mary.
I think that for Mary to actually recognize that, too, I thought was a very good thing.
Which I really hadn't contemplated before all that much, but it's definitely
And he got his job security.
That's right.
Because we have a
from
suicidal
from Mary being an asshole again, though. Like, she goes right upstairs, like, how do you feel about that, Dad?
Because you're the cause, Dad.
I love the way she did it. She goes, Cora says, don't bother serving us tea. And she
I guess I'm good at myself, then.
Exactly.
By the way,
Oh my god!
You killed somebody.
Right.
We got Pat Moore Hughes. Let's go to Pat because obviously we find out what the whole thing is. The House of Ill Repute. The little comic relief in this episode was the House of Ill Repute.
Okay, one of the things that several people pointed out was how comedic this episode was. There was actually, you know,
They had a fair bit.
There was a lot, you know. So when the first time I watched it.
Yeah.
Sergeant Willis is there with Mrs. Patmore and Mrs. Hughes, and he's saying, you know, it's a house of ill repute. And Mrs. Hughes was like, and you couldn't tell. My first inclination was she's laughing.
Is she laughing?
That was what I thought at first. But then it's also shocking,
so you could cover your face for that too,
but it turned out she was
And then everybody's laughing at it. Yeah, Anna and Mary. Everybody's laughing at it.
It's
great.
Hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Don't want this to get upstairs. Oh, Anna, let's go tell Mary about it immediately. And let's just laugh and laugh and laugh.
Carson is just appalled.
Horrified.
How could it besmirch the family?
So glad we didn't try to do that.
So what I loved about this was how livid Mrs. Patmore was.
Oh, yeah.
About the whole thing.
She's,
right?
Yeah, yelling at her niece.
Oh,
my God. That was just great.
I mean, livid.
Yeah, the whole thing. And then Mrs. Patmore, and her, when she goes in to talk to the Granthams, and she says, I know you want, should you really be part of this? And he says, Carson says, I don't think you should. But Grantham says, look, she's been loyal to us, and we should be loyal to her.
And the reaction
is just that little catches her voice catches.
But she kept her composure.
She did.
She didn't cry.
I'll take my leave. Yeah, it was terrific.
It was even with
all the comic relief and
even though she was involved in a tawdry local brouhaha.
Horrible.
And at that same moment, Carson was kind of called on the carpet.
Yes,
about time.
As he should have been.
Right?
Judgy.
By Lord Grantham, especially.
The whole time.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, you show a little bit more backbone, you know.
Exactly.
So, and great little plan they come up with. They'll have tea, and that'll fix everything. You know,
fabulous. Because tea does.
It's a photo op.
Yeah,
tea fixes everything. Even let's just face it.
I need a bigger story to cover this one.
Yes.
Wow, this paparazzi there.
PR.
Exactly.
Yes, supportive.
It's nice. All right. So it was great. I just, you know, I loved it. I thought they did just enough of it.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Nicely sprinkled throughout.
Yeah, it was great. Okay. So, and the other thing, the other storyline that I liked was just the moments that they had with Isabel and Crookshank and that whole thing.
Oh, Amelia.
Yes.
Amelia.
Yeah, I just call her Crookshank because I love that name.
Because it's a better
Crookshank
name.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great name.
Nobody has ever been as rude to me
as
your son, as Larry.
As Larry, yeah. So, and, you know, and
nobody
no one has.
Nobody ever.
Yeah. And that scene between them, I mean, it was, again, a parallel scene. It was one with Violet and Crookshank.
Yep.
But what with Isabel is, you know, in a weird way, more upfront.
Yes.
And not as scheming or as, you know, because Violet's a little bit.
Right,
so now I think
less double talk.
Exactly.
Less double talk.
She says, I don't want to hear it from you. I want to hear it from Larry.
Larry needs to say it.
Exactly.
You can speak for him, but
we'll
you're
talk.
Not speaking for him.
Exactly. So I thought it was great. And, you know, again, it's like, Crookshank. Too bad.
You're going to be with old boy Merton.
Exactly. So you're not going to get your way. Your little conniving is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Everybody sees right through her, which I think is fabulous, too.
Right.
You know what? You deserve Larry. I think you'll be a great couple. You'll enjoy
it. You'll have a great time at the manor.
Exactly. And then even the last moment when Lord Merton is behind. I love the way he's behind the two ladies. Just trying to get a word in edgewise.
No, sorry.
A little puppy following them. So I heard you talk. And Violet putting the button on it.
No.
The ball's in Larry's court and he must play it.
Play it.
There's nobody there else who can.
There you go. So just, you know, Lord Burton, shut up.
Shut up. Yeah,
yeah. Let him and it was perfectly played by both of them. I loved Isabel.
Very lovely.
That's it. There you go. All right. Now, last thing we got to get to because you know we're almost out of time. But to me, this thing, so much of this particular episode hinged on Mosley. For me, just Did you guys? I mean, and okay, but speaking to this because you know we talked about they didn't do enough for with Thomas.
Yeah.
And we're worried about timing. Look how little time he had on screen and how effective
great
that was.
Perfect.
Yeah. Just amazing.
Works.
Yeah, and I love
so
the parallel scene. The first time he goes there to teach, horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. And in classic Mosley fashion, underestimating himself, not really, living in the moment and rising to that occasion and stuff. He's just, you know, kind of hemming and hawing and fumbling his way through. You know, kind of like when he was trying to be a docent and didn't quite, you know, step in. Exactly. Because he has a whole lifetime of not being able to express and to share and all that other stuff. Not really have the experience. I love it. I thought it was perfect.
And then Baxter gave him the power just by saying, just tell them.
You tell them. Which is what Mary should have, I mean, so Edith should have done.
Edith should have done.
So they won't have to find out.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, interesting too, because ahead of time he's preparing, you know,
right.
he's sitting at
the
dinner
table. Schedules, whatever it is,
And I think if you expect a lot, you get a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, essentially treating these kids like adults, which, you know, in some ways works. In some ways doesn't, but
also not realizing he should say that by himself.
Yes,
I think he didn't expect that if he had told them what he was,
that it would be a connection as opposed to a deterrent.
Right,
and it was transformational for those children because,
and for himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
because
Daisy got to hear.
But the way when he was talking about how he was, I've been in service, I still am, and I thought his authenticity was amazing.
Yes.
I thought the guy just nailed it.
Yeah. Right.
I just, you know, because remember in series past, last many seasons, he's been a bumbling fool.
He's
we've enjoyed him.
Or Edith in the basement.
Exactly.
Or where the quarters are.
And he's been wonderful comic relief and stuff. And the way they've shaded and colored that character and arced him, I mean, has been terrific.
And he rose.
Yeah, he really did.
Great.
And he rose in being himself.
Yes.
No, he didn't have to try to
do
anything.
No putting on airs.
No, just, you know, acknowledge what you are and just move on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
The children were spellbound. He's a natural.
Yeah. And they plotted him.
And then Bates saying that
and it worked. It wasn't sappy or anything.
I thought it was like, amazing. I was like
this is work. Why is this working?
Oh, no.
Right.
I fell
and
for it.
How many times did you torture substitute teachers when you were in elementary?
We look forward to it.
Right. And then Bates saying you're a kind man and you deserve to have that kindness returned to you or whatever.
Be rewarded.
Right.
Yeah.
And
oh my God, yeah. And the way every time in those moments he just you can see it all happening on his face and you're going,
they
man.
So good.
Yeah.
They're so good at
and
what
it
they
worked.
Do.
And it's like, and I go, how, you know, there's so many times when this could easily dip into sentimentality and for some reason for me it doesn't. They just pull back enough. Or they cut it just quickly enough.
Yeah.
So that really, really worked for me. And again, it's so little time on screen and so effective in terms of reaching. The pathos was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loved it.
All right. So, you know, I know we're running a little long, but
it's been a long episode.
So was there anything that you guys wanted to cover that we haven't already?
Spratt.
Oh, of course.
And the office and the ladies smoking and talking about negotiating. And I loved it. That's why I was fine with poor Edith, even though she didn't end up with her man.
Right.
I loved the scene with her and her new editor and that blue.
Because you saw a history there. You saw what could be.
You saw women growing and like the future of what they're going to be and what her dad, Edith, Lord Grantham had just said, like, Edith being the most interesting person coming up, whatever, and I just thought it was so great, and then when Spratt popped up,
it was bananas.
It was bananas. It was so
bananas.
Now, who in their right mind saw it? I wish somebody actually would have
predicted that.
Because that sounds like one of those crazy predictions that we ask people to write.
Yeah.
It's like, here's one.
Here's
Spratt is Charlotte.
Yeah.
I did not think that at all.
Is that what it is? Miss Jones?
Oh,
is
no,
Cassandra.
Cassandra
Jones.
Charlotte. Cassandra. Sorry. right. I'm a name-meister.
Cassandra Jones.
Cassandra Jones.
It was a banana sprat. We had a banana sprat.
A banana sprat. Yeah, so. Nice, John.
It was, I just thought
after
that was
having Violet or Isabel or Violet just say, he's a good butler, he should just be here.
Yeah, exactly.
He should just know.
That was wonderfully dropped in because I'm going, okay, something's up with Spratt.
Yeah, but where's Spratt?
But then I completely forgot it because everything else was going on.
So last episode, the dog was not to you, but to me, was a great surprise.
Yes,
Spratt was a complete surprise. I was like,
Spratt, I was shocked,
Because nowhere, you know, because we didn't see him writing anything.
No!
I thought that would have been nice. Rather than doing the stamp collecting, it would have been nice if they'd just shown him writing letters because then we would have gone, that's what he was doing.
They tricked us.
So several people said throwing the implausibility flag on
sure,
this one.
Of course.
But you know what?
But that's what I'm saying.
Cute though.
But rather than doing the stamp things, if he was writing letters that Denker kept trying to read, you know, rather than the letters, rather than the stamps, we would have bought that.
Yeah.
And I'm going, God, that would have been great if he'd done that.
Yeah.
Well, lay that in. And we would have gone, oh my God, he's been laying that in for four weeks. He's been laying that in.
Yeah.
That would have been
nice. So we're going to suspend our disbelief on that one because it's delightful.
I accept it because it's delightful.
Exactly. I completely agree. And I agree with them. It is totally implausible. And I still liked it.
It was so fun.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
So.
Love all the
Thank you for bringing that in, Courtney, because I totally forgot.
Absolutely.
Tamara, what else? Anything?
Can I talk about, do we want to move on to other stuff?
We got news and gossip. Or we have shout outs. What do we got?
Shout outs.
We're doing shout outs.
Conversation. We got that stuff.
We'll do that. Okay, let's move on to that.
Yeah.
I don't think we have any news and gossip.
All right, so I'm going to talk Twitter a bit.
Okay.
So, Caroline, who's Caribou London, she tweeted me an entire emoticon breakdown of the whole episode, which I died when I saw
it. Did you retweet that?
So good. I did retweet it, so you can check it out.
Caroline, thank you for that.
Yes, thank you, Caroline. It made me laugh.
I'm sure it makes sense, too.
It does. There's the mortarboard that Sprats, I mean, the Mosley's boss had. There's an orange. There's a bathtub.
Master George. Oh, my God, that's hysterical.
There's, Sorry, I just kicked over the wine. We can't have that. Okay, Anna, my Irish buddy. Personally, I think that for the three scenes with Barrow, there could have been more filmed.
Right.
But the orange moment with
Master George
was great. Oh, sorry, Caroline. Also, this is a prediction. Mary will not marry again. She also says this prediction about Edith, so we'll give that with a grain of salt. But she will move to London's East End and become a nun. 30 years later. Call the midwife. I love
That's amazing.
That show. That's you are
perfect.
A fan of Call the
I'm
Midwife, right?
I'm a huge fan of Call the Midwife. Yeah.
That's okay, great. Other tweets then are not in my feed. Julian Fellows better sleep with one eye open if the Christmas special doesn't deliver. Team Edith and Downton Abbey. And this
everybody
was
wants her to have
Team
her.
Edith was trending last night.
My favorite.
Oh, really? Nice.
What is going on?
My favorite tweet of the night was, and then Edith killed Lady Mary. The end.
Oh my goodness!
Shout-outs to Alex. Can't wait for the Christmas special. Imogen, who spent a lot of time writing to me, which I love. Okay, Kathy Reisler. In an interview, Jim Carter and Laura Carmichael. So, Carson and Edith. Right. I've had some wine. said that the last shot of the series is Edith alone, and she has the last lines. Happy or sad, we do not know. We do not know.
I buy her single.
All right, Team Edith.
In London.
Okay, Eric Tull says, Downton, it can't end soon enough for me. The wheel started to come off in season 5. I guess I've been spoiled in season 1 through 4. I'm going to miss you guys, though.
Oh,
we miss you, too.
And Nico Dov answered that one, which was all the characters of Downton Abbey should yell at Mary. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
She's very scorned as O'Hara.
That's perfect.
Okay. So also Nico Dov. Okay, here we go. Two weddings are Edith and Bertie.
Yeah. Okay.
And Isabel and Lord Merton.
Okay.
With Larry being disinherited. No funeral, although we could consider Lord Hexham being a funeral.
Sure.
Okay, so maybe that one covered it. One proposal, being Baxter and Mosley. Two courtships, the lady editor, whose name we can't remember right now, and Tom. And then Daisy and Andy. One friendship, being Thomas with everyone. And two job offers, Tom with getting a job offer from Talbot and Thomas with Lord Grantham and one healthy baby, which is Baby Bates.
Nice.
Okay, so can I do a prediction?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, here's my prediction. Mrs. Patmore marries Mr. Mason.
Okay.
They hang out on Yew Tree Farm.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Hughes and Mr. Carson take over her B&B.
Okay, nice.
And they all live happily ever after. Edith is going to marry Bertie, period.
That's, you sure?
Yes, I'm sure of it.
You don't think Gregson's coming back?
Oh, there are people who have said Gregson's never been dead. But
yeah.
I don't believe it.
That never wrapped up. Like, we didn't have clear indication.
Well, here's the thing. You can easily make the argument that he can't because of the trust issue and also because the scandal will be is not something he would want his...
I don't think they're going to get married because whatever it was, I don't know, maybe I fed into it, but her scene when she's in there with her editor and they're talking about, oh, we called the guy, and the girl falls back in the chair with her cigarette. Like, I see Edith as a different kind of woman now. Like, she doesn't need that.
No,
she's not going to be a Marsh Pesa.
And she's not going to put her daughter in a position to be less than because of some status situation that she's now in to be a married woman because her love and appreciation and what she's had to sacrifice for her daughter is so important.
Here's the thing. There's no way Edith can lose because if she goes Courtney's way, she, you know, lives in modern society and becomes someone.
And her daughter has an amazing life and amazing possibility.
Thank you. And if Bertie comes back, which I predict he's gonna, she will be a marchioness or a maraschino cherry or you know, if just to go kind of meta, the most satisfying end for me with Edith is if she wins. And she wins by marrying Bertie, the
and
man.
Outranking everybody.
She loves.
But she does love him.
Outranks everyone. And gets to do whatever the hell she wants because she's a marchioness.
Cheesy and kind of goes against everything that she's always been.
Not everything. She loves him. That's true. For her, to me, is
winning at her own life as she is. Not like falling into the fairy tale that would have mattered so much more to Mary. Because at this point, I don't think she sees those
to stick it to Mary for the rest of her life.
But she doesn't want to.
That's true.
She's already proved she doesn't want to because she could have not gone to the wedding and called her a bitch and moved on.
You're right.
She's a bigger person.
But here's the thing.
I want to know what you think, John.
You could easily make the argument that she gets that and she does that, meaning Courtney's where she's gonna, I'm going to be the editor
all
and this,
this
is, I'm getting this.
Yeah.
And then, boom, I've moved on. And Bertie still comes back and says, and that doesn't change. I'm still going to do this.
That's what I think.
I'm not going to lord it over Mary either.
Yeah.
Pardon the pun.
Maybe.
Because she's moved on.
Yeah.
And then it would be cool. And then we'd go, well, damn. Edith, way
Talk
to go.
Talk about having it all.
That's it. So why not? So anyway, so that's
what do you think is going to happen?
I think it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
What I just said. Yeah.
Because
so
I agree with Courtney.
For
me, it was enough to have her be the editor, run that magazine, and find her place that way.
Right.
Because it's not about the family. It's what she's brought on her own.
Yeah.
And what she made that magazine into because of who she is and what that example sets for her daughter. That to me was enough. But I was like, okay, let's throw it in. Let's we get married too.
Right. Okay. So we have like 5 weeks before we have our Christmas special, which is going to kill all of us.
Yeah.
Real quickly, did we really talk about the scene with Mary and
Isabel
at the grave?
We have to wrap it up. We're getting the signal now. Okay. So I thought that was one of the best scenes.
The moment where Mary was saying, "Whatever happens, I will always love you,"
then
Isabel. She said,
"I came to ask for his forgiveness," and Isabel's delighted. She's like,
"I'm delighted.
I can't speak for his forgiveness,
right? Because
you don't need mine because I'm delighted." Oh my God!
There's that moment
amazing.
That you kind of forget that Isabel was
for so long.
Is
you
your
forget.
Mother-in-law,
Matthew's mother, and you just forget it. You just for me, I did it. It's like, and I thought, God, what a smart choice for Uncle Julian to have that happen at the grave because It's just so powerful that, because we've never seen Mary at the graveside, at least I don't remember seeing that, maybe we have, but to have that there and to have Isabel in the background and just letting her have that moment with her son, mm-hmm. and then to share that between the two people who miss him the most, who loved him the most, and to understand and to have her give a blessing like that, to say, you don't need my forgiveness, I'm delighted.
Yes.
I mean, that to me was just the melting
and
of
And
her
delighted was like full smile.
Yes. Oh, yeah, and she held her hands to her heart. And
yes.
So forget it.
And it was
so
what
good.
We would expect of,
yeah,
of Isabel,
she's
because
so
she's an
giving.
Incredibly compassionate
yes,
woman.
Yes, yes, yes.
And yeah, the fact that she gave that to her was a gorgeous blessing before
thank you for
the
marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have Twitter yeah. followers to thank for that.
Well, I appreciate that for your reminder, because again, we've had so much to talk about. All right. Yeah. So we have 5 weeks. We have lots
it's
of things.
Going to kill us all.
It's going to kill us all.
Okay. So we're going to do a quick recap shortly after the episode, and then we're going to be back on,
for
I think it's the 29th.
One. Yeah. Sorry. Because you guys are going to be home with your families. We'll be home with ours. So we'll do it. If we can, we'll try to Skype something in. But I'm thinking it's going to be a very short one.
And then we'll do
full
the full
one
recap
when we get
on
back
the 29th, right?
Yeah.
So you can check Twitter with Courtney and I to get details on that. You can also check on YouTube. Yes. I will put the comments there.
And yes. I'll do a pre-apology for the delay.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. I know you're going to be bit of breath, but we're going to do it our best because we all want to be together for it. And
yeah.
logistics
and
really are such
fun.
That we have
and
to.
And we do to a great degree. To be, are sorry about that because we so enjoy spending this time with you and reading your comments. And
I can't tell you
your
how
Twitter
sad
and,
Mondays are going to be for me
yeah.
from here on out.
And from my own personal view, I'm so going to miss spending time with you guys. And I can't say how much I enjoy your company. I appreciate everything you bring to this.
Oh, my. John, Lord John, Lady Courtney,
smile.
Lady Tamara.
Courtney, please tell them why they can find
me. I'm so sad. You can find me on the universe at Stuart Starling.
I am at
internet.
We knew what you meant. I am at Tamara Berg. My website is TamaraCentral.com. Check out some stuff there, you guys. I'd appreciate it if you did. You can find John at Home Depot.
You can find me here next time when we'll be talking to you. Thanks so much again. We appreciate you tuning in.
Happy Christmas. We will talk to you guys in a couple
Merry,
weeks.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz your Christmas!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.